Welcome to Amplifying Leadership and Tip Thursday with Tara. I am Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. I hope to bring you some information or a key takeaway you can use to build, enhance, or grow your leadership skills with Tip Thursday with Tara. Are you one of those managing a remote workforce? Many still are, and a lot will continue to do so. I mean, it has saved businesses a lot of money in some cases. But managing and leading a remote workforce can be a bit different than when you are actually in an office. So today's tip is going to be how to lead a remote workforce, and not just about managing their tasks, but actually leading the people. So for today, I'm not just going to give you those typical tips that everybody knows about and hears. Have those regular check-in Zoom meetings or use Slack or Teams, you know, to create some conversation. You've heard of those. They're great tips. Use them. However, I want to go into a little bit deeper about what really can make a difference when you're leading remotely with your team, which can not only elevate them, but it can help you with your leadership too. So first things first is to prioritize their psychological safety, not just communicating with people. So most leaders will focus on prioritizing regular communication by setting up those regular meetings, those check-ins on Zoom, whatever that might look like. In remote teams, it's great, but we want to also build upon psychological safety. So that's when people feel really safe that they can share their ideas, they can speak up and even admit mistakes without fear or judgment. Keeping in mind, we want this if you're in an office as well. This is not just for remote teams, but it's really important for remote teams. So according to Google's Project Aristotle, this is the actual number one predictor of high-performing teams, remote or in person. So I want you to try this. When you do have your meetings, try opening them by making the conversation around fear and uncertainty a little bit more normal. So for example, you could start by saying, you know, we're experimenting here to find a bunch of solutions for this issue, and your ideas are valuable even if they're not fully formed yet. Please do share them. We are going to listen and take them seriously. People feel heard and valued, and you're already letting them know that if it's not fully formed or not fully thought out, that's okay too. Another one is to fight proximity bias. We want to make invisible work actually visible. So leaders often favor the employees unconsciously, I'll put that out there, that they see or hear from the most. Where in remote teams, this does create some proximity bias, because if you do have people working remote and people in-house, the people that are in the office, you're going to see and hear from the most. It's natural. So we need to make this unconscious proximity bias conscious. So we need to make sure that we're not just noticing the outspoken people, but we're also noticing those quiet, you know, steady contributors that sometimes will fade into the background because we don't hear or see them as often. So your job here is to actually spot and elevate invisible work or those quiet contributors to make those unconscious things conscious. So one way you can do this is check in with yourself. Are you only praising those who speak up in meetings? Maybe you can consider a weekly, you know, if you use Slack or Teams or some other kind of thread, a weekly wins and thank yous, where your team members are encouraged to highlight each other's contributions, including if you know someone isn't being, you know, thanked, you thank them. So everybody is in there. You can keep that team morale higher and a performance balanced as well. Another tip is to build those micro moments of connection. And, you know, keeping in mind that trust doesn't just come from those big team events or those picnics or, you know, whatever other events you may have. It also grows in those small, regular moments, you know, maybe those leadership touch points. But let's make sure this isn't always about work. So I want you to try this. Have a 5-minute casual check-in that isn't about work. This, you know, you don't want to dig too deep into personal. So you could just say, hey, how's your energy this week? Or how was your weekend? Or if you know a little bit about them and what they enjoy, and maybe it's, I'm going to make an assumption here that maybe it's hockey, you might say, what did you think of the hockey game last night? You're really creating that touch point for them. You can even try rotating one-on-one virtual coffees, if that's what you want to call them, across different departments, even. Because you know what? We want to connect with other departments in our organization. This also helps people connect on a different level. It prevents that isolation that can come up, which is a huge morale killer in remote workforces. So really try to connect with them on a more personal level and even encourage them to connect with other departments or other team members. Another tip is to set those boundaries and not just set them, model them, lead by example. A lot of times, remote work comes with a blur between what's the balance between life and work. And leaders, it's often us who make the mistake and set a tone that we don't want to have. So, for example, maybe you're working late as a leader and sending those late night emails. Believe me, your team then assumes that they have to do that too. They believe that's what's expected of them. Another case might be if you do praise overworking, you know, oh, great, thank you for doing that at 10 p.m. last night. They'll burn out trying to match what somebody else might be doing. So we need to set some clear boundaries. Number one is what are the working hours expected, especially after regular business hours? Maybe, you know, if you're sending emails late at night, use that delayed or scheduled feature so that they can go out in the morning. You can type them up, you can schedule them, but they won't go out until 8 o'clock the next morning. And always celebrate efficiencies that people have, not just the effort that they put in. And one more tip for today, we want to lead outcomes, not the hours. So in those remote environments, those remote workforces, leaders sometimes do slip into micromanaging more than they would if they were in person. Because we're making sure people are online, we're making sure they're actually working because we can't see them. We need to instead of focusing on, you know, how much are they online and how many hours are they doing, we need to focus on the impact that they're making for the team or the organization. So you need to actually shift your mindset from micromanaging how many hours worked and, you know, were they online at 3 to what were the outcomes achieved and are they meeting those deadlines? Be clear as well about what success looks like for each role for your employees. And you need to let them know that and allow them to provide some feedback too in case they don't quite agree. And then give people space to get to what that looks like. They can't do it overnight. Okay, so there's a few tips for you. So today, or sorry, this week's challenge or next week's challenge, if you are leading remote teams or even a few remote employees now, I want you to pick one of these five overlooked areas that we just talked about: psychological safety, fighting proximity bias, micro connections, setting those boundaries, and leading more on outcomes, not hours. And make a small leadership action for yourself to improve your leadership with your remote workforce for next week. Something small that you can accomplish next week. I work with leaders every day to turn tips like this into real-world results so they can lead with more clarity and confidence. If you are ready to take that next step, check the episode notes for the link to book a call. Let's get started on strengthening your leadership today. That is our Tip Thursday with Tara for this week. If you or someone you know is struggling with leadership priorities, building strong, empowered teams, I'm here to help. Please visit our website for more information on programs, coaching, our Rise Leadership program, and other resources at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.